Now back to Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Welcome back, Cap and Haw rolling on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus. David Haw is off on vacay. He'll be back next week. I'm leaving on Thursday, and then we'll be back together on the 20th. 312-235-2525. Crane Kenny, President, Business Operations for the Chicago Cubs, joins us now. Crane, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Cap. How's it going?
Doing very well. Tough night last night with the rain delay, and you know, Lester pitched really, really well. Just couldn't find a way to beat those Cardinals.
Yeah, they got our number right now, but maybe Lester's best start. Really, he was really real good last night.
Let's talk about the seventh inning stretch, because I was there as a fan on Friday and last night, and Friday I thought it was so awesome. Harry's up on the Jumbotron. People around me who I don't even know are all excited. And then last night we get Alien Ant Farm, who I personally have no idea who Alien Ant Farm is. Any chance that we could just keep it to, unless it's a super top-level A-list celebrity, that it's Harry all the time?
Yeah, we're probably not going to go that far where Harry's there every time. We thought Friday was the perfect chance to debut. You know, really some of the things our video boards allow us to do, which is celebrate some of our legends and some of our friends who've passed on. And we were reopening the bleachers. We had a toast with Ryan Dempster leading us at the seventh inning stretch, and we thought what a great time to bring Harry Carey back via the video board and had a lot of fun with it. I think you'll see more of that. It'll give us a chance to celebrate some of our icons, like Ron Santo, obviously, who's passed away, and Ernie Banks and others who've done the seventh inning stretch, who will be able to lead us maybe when we don't have an A-list or a real good Chicago connection in the booth. But I don't think we'll go to it all the time, even though I know there's a group of folks out there that like that. We do like, and it turns out when we do our polling and our fan surveys, almost always the highest rated in-game feature is the seventh inning stretch with a live conductor. So something for everybody.
I think that's awesome though, Crane, because you got a tool that you can use now, and so you're planning on splashing in some. We'll see Santo, we'll see Ernie, we'll see, you know, some of the great seventh innings along with Harry going forward. I think that's exactly how you should play. Is that right? That's what you plan on doing?
Yeah, that'll be the plan. And you know, Allison Miller and her team. You know, it's interesting. A lot like your show and other television shows. You know, the video boards are effectively a TV program, and every night's a little different. We do just like you do. We chase our ratings, so we talk to the fans after they leave the game, either through email or through fan intercepts, to find out what they liked on the board, what features they didn't like, what things they'd like to see more of, etc. And just like any other television show, we're trying to always tweak it just to try and give fans what they want. And this is a feature that was wildly popular, and so I think you'll expect to see some more of that going forward.
So would it be safe to say then Harry Carey and other Cubs legends the majority of the time?
No, probably not a majority, Cap. That's probably an overstatement. I think we'll probably lean toward live conductors unless there's not a good fit, or if it's the right time. So for instance, if it were, you know, the opening of the Bears season, we might bring back Ditka or something. You know, if there's a tie-in to something else that's going on, you know, a day that may be, you know, appropriate for Ernie or Harry or one of those folks, we might do it that way. But I don't think it'll be a majority.
All right, let's talk about hot dogs, too. You and I chatted about that on Friday. I never got to eat there because the line was always so flipping long. I would try and go on my way into work, and the line would be around the building, and I'd be like, I can't wait. So you convinced Doug Sohn, who closed down after 16 years, said, I'm exhausted. You tried to get him to open in the plaza, correct?
Yeah. You know, the original idea was, as part of our development outside the building, you know, when we saw the fanfare and the sort of the dismay of the city of Chicago when Doug decided to close his store, we thought, what if we could open a store here near his beloved Wrigley Field, and maybe where he wouldn't have to commit so much of his own time, that we could support him? And he really wasn't up for it. I think he wants to take a breather. It was a passion of his original location, and he was there, I think, basically 7 days a week. So he said he wasn't up for a store, you know, 24/7, 365. But we said, what about something in the bleachers where we would give you a dedicated stand? You know, it's only 81 days plus the playoffs. And he was game for it and couldn't have been better. He's legit. If you want to talk Cubs baseball, especially the 70s and 80s, he's legit. He can talk Cubs baseball as long as you want. And his products are legit. I was just talking to your producer before I came on. I'm going to put on about 10 pounds if I keep eating out there. So you got to make it out, Cap, and try Dave Kingman or a Carmen Fanzone.
Can someone sitting in a box seat wander out there to get one?
Actually, no. You know, at the moment, we have a dedicated grill kitchen for him. It's enough to support the bleachers, but we won't be able to do anything in the grandstands. And as the bleachers are built now, you can't walk the whole ballpark. So somebody with a grandstand seat can't make their way into the GA seating, which is in the bleachers. So this is really an exclusive feature for just the bleacher goers.
See, what about us grandstand folk, Crane? Because I love a hot dogs, but I love my grandstand. I'm not a bleacher guy. Did Doug not want to commit to making that many dogs? I mean, what was the logistics behind it?
Well, so right now we have some kitchen space issues. You know, one of the things we're trying to remedy in the grandstands like we have now in the bleachers is to create better concession operations. So if you look back at our design, we're going to have far more sort of made-to-order and fresh food in the grandstands once we finish the renovation in 2019. So today, really, to give him kitchen space, even if he were inclined to do the grandstands, we don't have it. So that's one limitation. The other is we really want to kind of walk before we run. It's similar to what we're doing with the video boards and everything else. We think the incremental approach is the right approach at Wrigley. So whether it's introducing our mascot a year ago or introducing new sponsors in the ballpark or, in fact, now with some new food items, we're going to try and get it right, kind of walk before we run, and then we'll see where it goes. I don't want to make any commitments long term, and certainly this is also a big part for Doug. His personal brand is called Hot Doug's for a reason, and Doug Sohn wants to make sure we do it really well in one location before we think about doing anything else. So I think for now, this is kind of an exclusive property for our bleacher fans, and we'll see where it goes down the road.
Have you considered the Cap kale salad with a smoothie on the side, like a twofer, for about $17.50? You can have a huge line for that, Crane. I'm telling you,
hot caps.
I see Cap walking around with all these funny colored drinks, and he brings his own private water, and I'm not sure what's in those jugs.
It's a good question,
Crane. I got to ask you on the baseball side. I asked you this on Friday. I'll ask you for this audience. There's this quote attributed to you that my job is to get wheelbarrows full of cash and dump it off at Theo's office. Is there money there if Theo said, look, we're 42-29 against teams not named the St. Louis Cardinals. We need to go out and get a bat who could drive somebody in, and I need to add another starting pitcher. Does he have the financial ability to make a purchase if he comes to you guys and says, I need the money?
Yeah, no, so, and we've all talked about this. I know Jed's been on with you talking about it. Yeah, there are financial resources available. They're not unlimited. But as you and I talked about, the currency most people want these days is players. The currency that we have and that is most sought after is the talent we have in our farm system. And the real question is, when are you prepared to give up, a younger player to make a push this year? And there's a lot of math and science and art in that. There are financial resources available. But like everyone, we do have a budget. It's not unlimited. But I wouldn't trust anybody more than Theo and Jed to figure out how to use it. They've proved to know their way around both ends of the spectrum, both the currency and the player talent. So we're in pretty good shape.
Crane, do you feel that you're ahead of schedule on the field, and would you classify yourself, how would you classify that off the field?
Well, I think, we're on the field, it feels a little ahead of schedule. These kids have really figured things out in many ways sooner than maybe all of us thought, and you're seeing it sort of on a nightly basis as these wonderful young kids come along. And Bryant being elected to the All-Star game in his first year is one thing. Watching Addison Russell learn how to play second base on the fly, I mean, you can kind of go right down the lineup. It's been really exciting. And obviously, there we are right now. If the season ended, we'd be a wild card team. So that that speaks for itself. Off the field, we're really happy with the way phase one came to an end. I wish there were certain things that our landmarks and National Park Service approvals took forever. We lost use of the street for a while, given some sewer issues we had. So there were things, and I certainly don't want to repeat. We're on schedule for the clubhouse being delivered to the players on opening day next year, so that's terrific. And then the office building being delivered to our front office team by the end of the year next year. So the project remains on schedule, but it's trying. And you know, if anybody's renovated a 100-year-old home before, you run into things that you don't expect, and you know, you got to manipulate. So we're in for another interesting off season as we get things wrapped up here in 15.
As we let you go, next year when the season starts, what changes beside the clubhouse, which will be something the fan doesn't get to really see or experience, what change would you say, yeah, fans will see that next year? Because the video boards obviously were the big thing this year.
Yeah, not to disappoint everyone, it will be less dramatic next year. I think the video boards are obviously, you know, quite dramatic. There's more to be done in the bleachers. The upper level of the bleachers get done in this next coming off season, as does the entryway where there'll be a new Bud Bar on the way in. So those will be obviously changes when you're sitting in the bowl. Beyond that, what needs to get done next off season is all of the steel, concrete, mechanical, electrical, and plumbing in right field. We got a lot of it done in left field. We'll get that done in right field. So that will be really kind of behind-the-scenes stuff for next year. And then, obviously, the plaza. You'll see by opening day next year, the cover will be on the clubhouse, which creates the plaza space. So at some point, maybe toward the very end of next season, fans will actually get to walk out on the plaza and have a place to gather before the games. But in terms of a wow fan moment, like the video boards were this year, it'll probably be less next year and more about the team and our front office.
And just to clarify, as far as the home clubhouse, does that mean the visitors too, or is that later in the project?
The visitors get some changes next year, but their full the full visitor clubhouse renovation isn't until down the road.
I think that's beautiful. Do that last.
Exactly. Paint it pink and don't put air conditioning in there. Crane.
All right, we'll put that on the list.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the time.
All right, Cap. Enjoy Italy. Yep. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Take care. There he is.
Bye-bye.
Crane County President, Business Operations for the Chicago Cubs. So he said there will be financial resources there if Theo and Jed want to make a trade. Obviously, the player acquisition cost of what you give up is different, and no one I trust more than Theo or Jed to make those decisions. So there you go.
I think that's most uplifting part of that was visitors down the line. Just leave them. They're fine. Nice high school clubhouse for them. Little hook. They can all be close together and talk about their deepest thoughts.
There you go.
I think that's a beautiful thing.
Hey, Wintrust loves a good rivalry. Who doesn't? I know I do. Here in Chicago, we got one of the best. Cubs, Sox, Northside, Southside, Blue, Black. Put your money where your heart is, Chicago, and decide for your side with a Cubs or White Sox checking account from your local Wintrust Community Bank. It even comes with your very own Cubs or Sox debit card so you can show your baseball pride every time you make a purchase. How cool is that? Plus, you can cheer for your team by tweeting or Instagramming with the hashtag SideCubs or hashtag the side socks. When you choose, either online or in the bank, you'll have Wintrust donate up to $500,000 to Cubs and White Sox charities. Follow along online, see whose fans are cheering the loudest, and learn more. Wintrust.com/you decide. Banking services provided by Wintrust Community Banks. Chicago Cubs, Chicago White Sox trademarks used with permission. Member FDIC. Quick timeout. We will be right back. 312-235-2525. Would you rather have Harry sing all the time, Cub legends, or live? Be right back.
Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast SportsNet and WGN+.
Just like my debut, just kind of enjoy everything, take it all in. You know, I hope to, you know, play many of those games, but it might be the only time I get to do that. So you only have one debut, and I'm going to treat this All-Star game like it's my only one, so I'm going to have fun with it.
It's a great honor to get that from the players. You know, you grind for your team all year long, and you watch what other guys do from afar, and you see them play. Maybe you don't see what they have to offer that day or whatnot, but we see each other with all the coverage of baseball all the time. So to be able, you know, for the players to vote me in is really special. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game
on, go play. Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, both selected to play in the Midsummer Classic, the baseball All-Star game. Chris Sale will represent the White Sox. Kevin Hall rolls on. Mark Harmon in for David, who's on vacation all week. 312-235-2525 is our phone number. Now, last night, John Lester took a no-no into the seventh. It's raining. I'm sitting there, and I said to my wife, I don't care how hard it rains. If they keep playing, this guy's got a no-no. We're staying right here. And then he gives up the hit off the glove of Bryant, and then Bryant makes the error. They end up giving up two runs. Well, anyway, I did not engage in Twitter last night on the at the game. It's hard to get a cell sometimes out there, and I just wanted to relax and watch the game and watch the work of John Lester and watch John Lackey and see the Cardinals who, boy, when they got to make a play, Colton Wong makes the play, and we got to make the play, we don't. It's just the way it is with young players right now. They'll get there. Len Casper says, apparently on the broadcast, I didn't hear it because I was at the game, that Lester had a no-hitter, and he tweets it as well. And people get mad. And I've experienced the wrath of these morons that I've tweeted. Hey, call your friends, like Hawk would say. Call your neighbors. So-and-so has a no-hitter. Jake Arrieta, I think, was the last one I remember. And then he gives up a hit, and I get crushed by it. I mean, I'm not talking like two people, like 100. You're an idiot. You jinxed him. Are people that stupid?
Yes, they are. Yes, they consistently are. By the way, and I don't want to throw you into the stupid pile, but you are going to Italy to give the Pope a hat because you want luck. People believe in the jinx, man. They legit believe it. Ball players believe it. They hop over the line. Ooh, if I touch the chalk, I'm going to...
I stand in overtime of a hockey game.
Right. People believe it.
But so, do they really believe...
Yes.
...with the anger they show to Len for doing his job as a reporter... Come on.
By the way, his tweets, at Len Casper, now 13 hours ago, send as many tweets as you want ripping me. I don't ever want one that says, I turned off the game because I didn't know. I have to tell the audience. And then his next tweet is, my bosses should take me to task during a no-hitter if I avoid it. We want eyeballs and ears on the game. Not everybody knows why we tell them. And he follows it up. And lastly, also... I said the same thing during Zambrano's no-hitter. That was 2008. Hello. People, you can't please people, Cappy. That's the end of the day. If you didn't tell them they're upset, you did tell them, you jinxed it. The people that believe in the jinx, and you kind of fall into that column sometimes.
What do you mean I fall
you
into that?
You do. You stand up during the Hawks game. You do your Ralph Macchio Karate Kid stuff. You're a somewhat crazy person at times. Take out the somewhat.
If I was broadcasting the game, I would be just like Len.
Yeah.
I would hope I'd be a pro and go, hey, tell your friends. But you might want to watch a no-hitter possibly tonight. John Lester's not a lot of hit through six. We go to the seventh.
Would you say it more deadpan? We end of the sixth. Cardinals.
Still looking for their first hit.
Lester's been perfect or whatever. You could do it in a subtle way rather than, you know, standing on the tallest mountain. If it's me and I think that – I mean, Len doesn't really need to worry about the ratings, does he? Is he sitting there thinking, man, if we get huge ratings, that's great for me? I suppose, I mean, you want people listening. Maybe he does think that way. But regardless, you could do it in a subtle way or you could stand from the tallest mountain. Either way, it has no impact of what's going on the field.
Completely agree.
But people...
But I can just tell you this. If I was standing during a Hawk game and they lost, which happened...
Yeah.
It's so okay. But if I sat down and then... The Kings scored in Game 7, or the Hawks lost to whoever, I'd be ticked, man.
So you see how hypocritical you are here, right?
No question.
Okay. As long as we're very clear.
But there's a big difference.
What's the difference?
I'm not going to start firing on the announcer for doing his job.
Okay. That's right. If you're firing,
I can't believe there's that many idiots out there.
Honestly, if you're firing on Len, there should be some mode of technology where we ban you from watching sports and you're not allowed in the stadium. You should be banned. If that's your take, you're so far off the track of reality that you should not be allowed to watch sports. At least like a penalty for like a week. Because you can't, you're like completely can't see the forest. Like, hello?
I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't. I just tweeted that. Are there that really that many idiots who criticize that Len Casper for mentioning John Lester had a no-hitter?
I'd love somebody to call in and just admit that they and apologize to Len right now. I'm sorry. I tweeted at Len. I didn't mean it. I was in the moment. I was really upset that the Cardinals were beating the Cubs for the 100th time in a row. That's fine. 847. I was at Ken Holtzman's first no-hitter. Radio mentioned it. No jinx. 270. Cap calling people stupid for thinking that talking about a no-hitter jinx it but stands up during Hawk game. That's whack, bro. Hashtag that a alligator.
F that alligator. That's becoming a new thing. I had people at the game last night. I was walking through the stands. And two different guys go, hey, Cap. Yeah, hey, buddy, how you doing? F that alligator. Got that last night at Wrigley.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
It's a new bit. 312-235-2525. Joe in Midlothian. Hey, Joe, what's going on, Sparky?
Good morning, Mark and Cap. I just want to say Jerry Reinsdorf is too old school. He's too loyal to his decision makers. And, for example, the Hawks wouldn't have won three cups in 6 years if they didn't change ownership and decision makers. And the Cubs should go for it all because they're not guaranteed to be in this position at all.
What does go for it all mean?
Trade like Baez, or even if you trade Castro for a good pitcher. They're not guaranteed to be 44-37 at this time next year. So by the third week of July, if they're still in it for that wild card, they should go for it. Go for pitching and hitting like they need.
Well, they're going to be. They're 2.5 up. Unless they have this epic losing streak, they're going to be in the race probably the rest of the way.
Yeah, but they can't beat the Cardinals. The Cardinals got the number.
But that's irrelevant.
They're
not catching the Cardinals.
I would bring up Schwarber to see what he can do. I know they said he can't catch yet. But if you look at Bryant last night, he can't play third yet, and they're going with him. You have nothing to lose but for him to bring his hitting up here. And I think it would help him a lot.
And where are you playing him at?
I'd play him at catcher to see what he can do.
You can't. There's a big difference putting a guy at third where he has been pretty solid a large part of the time and putting a guy in to handle your pitching staff when he's not ready.
Okay.
And you've got $40 million in Miguel Montero.
Okay, can I ask you this? Why did they draft him? Where's he playing now in the minor leagues?
He's catching at AAA.
Well, how's he going to learn then?
He's learning at AAA, Joe.
So what, you're going to wait 2 or 3 years for him?
Yeah, he was just drafted a year ago.
Okay. See, that's why I don't get like Bryant. He's not a third baseman. Yeah, he gives his all, his try, but he couldn't field the ground ball, and then he throws the ball away.
Joe, how old are you, if I may ask?
63. Are you watching baseball a long time?
Are you getting worried that you're never going to see it? Is that why you're feeling the urgency right now? Is that what's going on? Because, Joe, you're a healthy man. Just a little more patience, and you're going to get there. Get on that treadmill. Eat a nice salad. It's going to happen, my friend.
Let me just tell you this as we let you go. If they go out and they trade a bunch of good young prospects for 3 months of Johnny Cueto, and he doesn't re-sign with the Cubs, and they don't win the World Series, and you watch some guy go to the All-Star game 6 times in the Reds uniform, you're going to be the first guy that calls here and go, what a stupid decision that was.
Cap, they already traded Josh Donaldson, Matt Harrison, Chris Archer.
Right.
Look and at all those guys they could have had.
That's right. And how did that work out for you?
Well,
not good is the answer.
But the person made the wrong decision. That's not going to happen every time. You know that, Cap.
Yeah. Joe, we got to roll. I appreciate the call. Have a great day, buddy. No, this is not a team built to win the World Series right now. Can they get lucky and get on a roll? Yeah. But no, you don't take some of your trading chips that are elite chips. Yeah, you give a little something. Also read an article that made me throw up over the weekend. Apparently, when the Cubs traded for Garza, according to, I think it was Jesse Rogers' article. I think it was Jesse. The Rays said, we'll take one of the two pitchers you guys choose. So Hendry had his choice. Trey McNutt, Chris Archer. He goes, we'll keep McNutt. You can have Archer. That one didn't work out too well.
That can't be true.
That's what the article says.
McNutt or Archer? They were the, okay. Listen, there's a long list of reasons why the Cubs are at 107 years, and it's got nothing to do with jinxes to round it back all the way to the start of the segment.
Yeah, totally agree. Anyway, Cap and Haw brought to you by Horowitz, Horowitz and Associates, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. They won the largest verdict for a brain injury in Illinois history, the largest verdict for a back injury in Illinois history, and the largest verdict for a neck injury in Illinois history. That is the triple crown of lawyering. Like Secretariat, Horowitz, Horowitz and Associates. These guys win. Quick timeout. Ryan McGuffey from Comcast Sportsnet, who covers the White Sox. He will join us next.
Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
Alexei! Yes! 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 History!
Nine to say if it wasn't, could give me a little more amped up than I should have been. Again, run out, you know, going out to the bullpen, they're kind of cheering and then coming in. Throughout the game, it was special. I mean, I'm not lying to you. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't, but outstanding feeling. Just came out on the wrong end for us.
Hawk Harrelson on the call. That memorable moment, the perfect game spun by Mark Burley. And then Mark Burley after the game yesterday. Sox win, get some help for some shoddy Baltimore defense. I think an error by Jose Reyes to start things for Toronto. And the Sox beat the Blue Jays. Well, what did I say?
You said Baltimore.
I did?
99.99. Yes, you said Baltimore.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You said Baltimore.
I meant Toronto.
Yes, you did.
Ryan McGuffey does magnificent work at Comcast Sportsnet. Part of his contract is I have to buy his coffee every day for him, and he joins us now on CSN. Hi, Goff. How are you, buddy?
Hi, Cap. What's up, Carm?
Goff, you're in the race, baby. I'm trumping your White Sox right now.
Yeah?
Goff, do you feel as someone who you're out at the ballpark all the time covering this team and did the great documentary Believe, do you feel like the White Sox are still a team that can make a run here and get to postseason play, or... No, they can be respectable, but they're not going to postseason play.
I think you'd have to look. You have to be realistic. I mean, they're 5.5 games out of the second wild card. So, but the only team below them in the standings right now is Oakland. So, do I think that they can make a – it's a team that's capable of making a run, but we've been talking about this now for 3 months. So, I guess if you hang your hat on the fact that you have multiple guys on your team – that are well below their career averages. You know, when you flip that baseball card around and they're supposed to have these numbers and they're not even close, you can hang your head on that. They have the pitching. I think they have the pitching in the bullpen to keep them there. But, look, their offense has not been good all year. Rick Hahn said it last night on Sports Talk Live. He said that's the one thing that you can definitely, if you need to hang your head on any of this stuff, you know, you can talk about the defense. You can talk about a couple of mishaps here and there in the bullpen. But for the most part, it's been that the offense has been really bad for, you know, almost 85 games now. So, look, sure. Can they? Is it realistic? Probably not.
You would look at it, though, Guff, that at least from my standpoint, they've won 5 of 6. The energy that I saw from the White Sox last night, really the last it hasn't been a team that looks defeated to me. Do you think that's fair?
I definitely think that's fair. And, I mean, that's a good sign if you are a team, or if you are one of those people who think, yeah, they can stay in this race. I mean, the other good thing about, you know, the White Sox, they're not leaving Chicago until July 20th. Outside of the All-Star break, you know, they have 3 games at Wrigley this weekend. They're in town for a long time. Now, granted, the teams that they play are combined 51 games over 500 or something like that. But it's something that you could say, hey, look, they've played well at U.S. Cellular Field all year long. They're, I think, 5 games above 500 there. They haven't played well on the road for whatever reason, but they seem to play well at home. And look, when there's still an energy on that team that you're talking about. When those guys get base hits, you know, even if there's nobody on and 2 outs and a single, look at Jose Abreu, Adam Eaton, Melky Cabrera. They still are stirring that drink. And, you know, that was something 2 months ago that everybody kind of caught fire of. They sell a T-shirt in the gift shop that's, you know, of Adam Eaton in the cocktail that says, I'm the straw that stirs this drink. But they still are having fun with that. I think it's a team, you know, from an outsider's perspective, you know, everybody who covers the team to all the fans who want to play GM this time of year, they're still not traveling, you know, on these team charters. They're still not in it every day with these guys who have 162 games. I think we lose sight of the fact sometimes that these guys are grinding out every single day, and then they get one day off, and then they play 19 or 20 games, and they get one day off, and they play 19 or 20 games. I think these guys who run the team have to believe that when they look at the standings, be like, yeah, we've been about as bad as we can be, yet there's something right there in front of us. If we play the other way around, the way we thought we could, there might be something there at the end.
Talking to Ryan McGuffey from Comcast Sportsnet. I look at the White Sox team, and you know, I hear people all the time say, blow it up and start over, trade away all your assets. What do you really have to trade, though, Guff? You're not trading Chris Sale. He's on an unbelievably great team contract, and he's the best pitcher in baseball. Probably not going to trade Jose Abreu. You're certainly not trading Carlos Rodon on his, you know, first making league minimum. You're not going to trade Jose Quintana, probably. So what are you able to get for anybody? Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff Samard is obviously your most tradable asset.
But trading him for 3 months.
Yeah, and not only that. Like, here's what I'm thinking. I don't know if today, if Oakland said, we'll give you back the four players that you traded, you know, for Jeff Samardzija today, I'm not sure I'd make that deal. I'm not sure. Marcus Semien has 20-plus errors at shortstop. He can't field. He's not going to fix your fielding problems. Yeah, he's had a nice little – he's got some pop. He's not going to fix you in the field. I think we've seen what Josh Fegley is. I don't think – I'm not going to trade Jeff Samardzija for somebody's, let's say, fourth and seventh best prospect, because when you go across baseball and you look at almost every team's fourth and seventh best prospect – there's not a whole lot there. There's not a lot of teams like the Cubs that are just loaded with a farm system that had, you know, they tore down and built it back up again and had the patience to do so. So I'm under the fact that, well, keep Jeff Samardzija, get the 3 months left of Jeff Samardzija, and maybe you do make a run. And if you don't, there'd be draft pick compensation at the end that could end up being better in the long run than somebody's fourth and seventh best prospect.
Or you may sign him. I mean, I wouldn't completely rule that part out either, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. I think if you trade him, you probably are ruling out signing him. You know, never say never, but yeah, they're definitely loaded with left-handed pitching and not just subpar left-handed pitching. I mean, these guys they have, you know, you mentioned them, Sale, Quintana, Rodon, those guys are going to be here for a long time, so... You kind of need a power right-handed pitcher. He's been fantastic over the last month plus, and he's the perfect kind of guy you want in your clubhouse. I mean, Cap, you have both dealt with him when he was on the north side.
He's fabulous.
And he's fabulous. He's a guy who gets it. You know, he grew up around here. His whole life has been in a 90-mile stretch. So I think the White Sox would love to have him on the team for a long time. Whether or not they want to shell out the money and stuff, you know, we'll have to see.
Guff, if you look at the matchup last night, there was a special buzz. I wanted to do Sports Talk Live out there yesterday, and the rain precluded us from being able to do it, and we're supposed to be at Wrigley today, and the rain may preclude that one as well. But last night was one of those rare times, even when a team is up the track like the Sox, where it was must pay attention to baseball. Agreed?
I tweeted it out. I said, this is one night, regardless of where you sit, as a fan, as a member of the media, whatever it is, and I know, Cap, I think you tweeted it, I said, hey, look, this is the night you put the fan hat on and enjoy Mark Burley versus Chris Sale, because they don't happen often. And, I mean, obviously, we all understand what Mark Burley meant to the city of Chicago, what he meant to the White Sox. And I said this, he's on my Mount Rushmore of Chicago athletes, both on and off the field. And then you got a guy like Chris Sale, who comes around probably once every 25 years as well in terms of being that dominant and going for a major league record at the same time. I mean, you couldn't have written a better script. And then, of course, it lived up to the billing. I mean, Sale didn't get the record. The Blue Jays came out swinging. I don't think that they wanted to be part of a record. And you got two guys that threw complete games. I mean, it was an hour and 54 minutes. So everyone wins. You know, there was no rain delay. The White Sox got the win. Mark Burley pitched fantastic. He had x-rays that were negative, so nothing bad happened in last night's game. It was like the perfect storybook, you know, night on the south side.
What do you think Samardzija is doing differently the last month that he wasn't early in the year? Is it as simple as just finding the strike zone or not overthrowing? What would you put it on, Guff?
Well, I mean, there was a lot made about his first inning. I mean, he was getting beat up pretty bad in the first inning. And, you know, he said there's really sometimes no explanation for it. What you feel like in the bullpen before the game is a whole lot different than when you take the mound for the first pitch. There's not a lot of rhyme or reason to it, but I think, you know, kind of part of it's comfortability. You know, it's another new team. He's been on three teams in, what, 6 months? So, and I just think he's a guy that has shown over the course of time. I mean, let's keep in mind that he's not been a starter for a whole lot of time. So I think he's a guy that over time has shown as the year wears on, he gets better and better and better, and he can go deeper into games. He's not a guy that he gets to 100 pitches, and he's not somebody you're going, okay, let's get him out of there. You're going, he might have 25 or 30 left. And he's shown it time and time again. He's a guy, he's a competitor. He's got that football mentality. So when Robin goes out or Coop goes out in the seventh inning, when there's a man on first base after a leadoff single, he kind of looks at him like, yeah, what are you doing here? Let's go. Let's get this guy out. So I think he's just one of those guys that as the season goes on, he gets better and better and better, which also might be a rhyme, you know, might be one of those things that say, hey, let's take a peek at what we can do here over the next 3 weeks. I mean, that's going to tell you a lot about where the White Sox are, right? I mean, we could sit here and talk about them being in a pennant race, but I think over the next 19 to 21 days, this is all going to kind of sort itself out. I think if they make a run and kind of are hovering around 500 at the trade deadline, I think that they're more likely to, you know, stand pat and see where it goes. And then there's that non-waiver trade deadline in August, because I think there's just a lot of baseball left, especially in this month. And we're all jumping to conclusions about who's going where, but there's so much parity right now, and especially in the American League. It's so jumbled that, I mean, the Oakland A's, and we talked about this last week, are the unluckiest team in baseball. They have the worst record in the American League. I mean, they're like 15 games under 500 in one-run games. So that luck can turn, you know, tomorrow. I mean, Jed Hoyer said it was, you know, sometimes it's just a good week when you're five games out of a wild card. So if the White Sox can have a good rest of the week here, they have six games against two, obviously, the Blue Jays and the Cubs. If they were to rip off six in a row, I think they're 500 at the break. Is that unlikely? Probably, but the way they're playing right now, it's been good baseball.
Hey, before we let you go, the prediction machine just re-ran their numbers. They do it every day, so I have today's up. Their projections, they play every game 50,000 times, and they tell you what the team's probable record is going to be. What do you think they have for the Chicago White Sox record at the end of the year, as of today, the 37-43.
I feel like you're leading me with this, so I'm going to say 80-82.
They have them 75-86. 75.7 average number of wins.
That's the same pace.
All right, well, then I mean, I guess I would tell you that they're probably
what we think they are.
What they are right now. I mean, I think they could probably go 4 out of 5 and then lose 4 out of 5 and win 4 out of 5 and lose 4 out of 5. And that's kind of what they've been doing, you know, most of the year here. So, I mean, if they were going to be 75 and I guess it'd be 75-87 technically, but, you know, that whether they hold on at July 31st or not, I mean, they could obviously they made some deals last August. I think Adam Dunn was part of that. I think Jordan Beckham was part of that. So, you know, July 31st doesn't mean a whole lot in terms of the grand scheme of things in terms of trades, because guys can get dealt all the way till September 1st. So, and I think they're going to kind of see where they stand after this this big stretch here at home after the All-Star break, and see kind of how they can hang tight here in a very tight American League and see where they go from there.
And for the Cubs, they project them 44-37 right now. They have the Chicago Cubs 87 wins.
And a World Series parade cap?
No parade.
Got that. No parade.
Second wild card. That's it.
42-29 against everybody not named the Cardinals.
How about that?
That's pretty good.
Huh?
Except they're 2-8 against the Cardinals.
Yeah. Brutal. Brutal. We'll see if they can get something done today. I'll see you at the office.
All right, boys. Thanks.
Talk to you. Thanks. There he is, Ryan McGuffey from Comcast Sportsnet.
Love McGuffey, and those numbers by prediction machine are right down the middle, so.
Simply I don't think what the computer says.
Okay. I don't think you can read a whole lot into that. That would be my take.
They have the Cardinals winning 97.
I got them winning 128.
Get the ultimate. They keep playing us. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV adapt in Glenview with the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD. Get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come in an app today. See the complete selection of Samsung electronics or call them at 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience, shop where we shop. It's app ABTheApp.com. Ask for the one and only great Steve Shapiro app, pleasing people since 1936. We will talk more baseball with you and some guys making decisions in basketball. And Mark Burley, Don Cooper. Don Cooper telling a great Mark Burley story on Sports Talk Live yesterday. You don't want to miss it. We got the audio, the whole deal. We'll get your take. 312-235-2525. Be right back.
It's Cap and Haw.
Burley comes around to me in Houston around the seventh inning with a styrofoam cup in his hand. I look in it. There's a beer in there. You know, it wasn't uncommon for guys on the 2005 staff to, you know, the starters when they weren't pitching, to enjoy a cocktail from time to time. So in the seventh, it's a tie game. He asked me if we're going to use him. I turned to him fooling around saying, heck no, we're trying to win this game. We don't want you in it. And then I hedged my bet by saying, well, if it goes 13 or 14, because I knew how much we had. I knew how many innings we had. And son of a gun, if we don't tie the game up and the only guy left is Burley, and here he comes running in there. You know, no telling how many beers he had before that save.
One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
That's yesterday on Sports Talk Live, which you get every day on Comcast Sportsnet. Usually 5:30, sometimes 5, depending on our broadcast schedule of games. And Coop saying that Mark Burley had a few cocktails. He said, I don't know how many he had before he got the save at Game 3 in the World Series in 2005.
See, I feel like if David Cavill was actually the manager of the White Sox and he found out that one of his players in Game 3 of the World Series was drinking during the game, I don't think that'd go over very well with manager Cappy. I think manager Cappy would
add a bother me. He wasn't pitching that day.
Well, you never know what's going to happen, and he ended up pitching that day. It's the World Series. Can't you wait till after the game to have your beverage there, Mark Burley?
He'd pitched already. I didn't think he'd get in, and it makes for a great story.
It does make for a great story.
Legendary.
And it shows how talented Mark Burley is. Maybe beer should be thrown under the PED list. No beer during the game.
Sports Talk Live, 5:30 today. Sportsnet Central tonight at 6:30. And we will not be at Wrigley for Sports Talk Live. Kevin Cross has ixnayed that and pulled us back to the studio with the inclement weather in the area.
We've really had a hell of a summer.
It's been unbelievable.
60s, freezing. Had to rock the umbrella today, which I got crushed for on the text line.
Sportsnet Central tonight with Pat and Mark, 6:30. Cardinals-Cubs tonight, 7. Holly and I have postgame live after the ballgame. Blue Jays at White Sox tonight, 6:30 with postgame live. That's all on CSN Plus, pre and post there.
Dallas.
Chuck and Bill. And by the way, happy birthday, Bill Melton. Belton Bill, 70 today.
Happy birthday to Bill. Dallas Beeler starting tonight.
Correct.
Am I the only person that thought maybe you'd give Edwin Jackson a spin?
Did you watch him last night?
I sure did.
So how are you giving him a spin? He was awful last night.
This was my thought before the Edwin Jackson ninth inning experience last night. Dallas Beeler, you know what his record is, right? Triple A.
Yeah, terrible.
He's 1-5, and okay, if you're not into wins losses, how does a 6.33 ERA work for
Brutal.
You? That's who's starting tonight. So when I looked at that, I'm thinking, maybe you throw Edwin out there or Travis Wood. Beeler? 1-5, 6.33 versus the St. Louis Cardinals. That's brutal.
That's whack, bro.
That is Dallas Beeler.
I'm just telling you, people that think you go out and trade away a bunch of your good players to get one arm, no shot. No shot. Watch that game last night, and much as I despise the St. Louis Cardinals, they're a better team.
Again,
they are.
I agree. Lester said it. Your top guy, at least financially, stepped right up to the microphone. What does St. Louis do differently that you guys don't do? Why are you 2-8 against them?
They're better than we are.
How come you suck so bad? They're better than us. Okay, then. We can all go home.
Right. They are, as of right now. But what happens if you get in the second wild card and Lester or Arrieta or Hamill, whoever it is, pitches that game and beats the Pirates, let's say. And now you get into the NLDS and, oh my goodness, the Cardinals get upset by somebody, the way it all shakes out. You don't know what the future holds.
No, you don't. And listen, they're going to play it out, and I don't think they'll do anything crazy either side. And I've said before on when I'm sitting here that if I was the Cubs, I'd take calls on both sides. You want to overpay for Starlin Castro or any of our players for that matter? You're interested? You're just dying to have Pedro Strop because you think he puts you over the top? I'll make that trade.
Yeah.
See you later. But most likely no one's going to do that. So you want to hand me something that I think could put me over the top? I'll do that too. But I wouldn't be in the overpaying mode. And I don't think they will.
Larry in Richland Park. Sir Lawrence, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Captain. I think you got my tweet. I hope you appreciated that.
I did. Thank you.
Hey, Cap, listen. I think the Cubs, they focus should be on another bat because I think with Jason Mott, he's getting his arm strength back now. He's pretty much the closer he was when he was with St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the Cubs starting pitching, I think they need to focus on offense because when you have Lester pitch, you have Ross, Lester, and right now Addison Russell is an automatic out. I mean, I'm sorry to say, I hope he improves, but right now he's not much of a threat. And so you got three hitters that when you got three automatic outs in your lineup, teams find that. They pitch around, they're going to pitch around Montero, Castro. They need to get another bat. I think that's what their focus should be on.
Yeah, but what bat is out there that you can get without giving up to your top prospects?
Well, I'm not giving up my top prospects, but I certainly try. I mean, if I can get Zobrist, hopefully Oakland's not asking for too much, or I try to find something. I'm on the phone, working the phones, trying to find something, whereas I don't have to give up my top prospects. Or I have to look in the farm system, and you got to be innovative. I bring Schwarber up sometime in August and see if he can help me. Put him in left field. Schwarber in left and try to get his bat in the lineup somehow.
Well, what if you could put Chris Bryant in left, and when Baez is healthy, you put him at third base?
That's fine, too. I thought that when he was before he got hurt, I liked the numbers that he was putting up, and I love to see Baez bat in that lineup. It lengthens the lineup, and it put more power in the lineup, and it make the lineup more potent. So hopefully Theo's on the phones, and he's concentrating on that. Don't worry about pitching too much. I like their pitching. I think it's offense.
Yeah, but they're short. Look, as you can tell, they're starting Dallas Buehler tonight. They're short in terms of quality arms that they could trot out there. They are definitely short there, Larry.
Yeah, but they want – I mean, for a quality starter, teams are asking for not just one prospect. They want Schwarber and Baez, and I'm not giving all that up. And especially for where they're at right now, I'm not doing it.
Agreed. Thanks, Larry. Have a good day, right, bud.
Have a nice one.
You too. See you. Larry in Richland Park.
If Dexter Fowler continues to struggle, and he had a couple hits already, said one hit last night, dropped down to, what was it, seven in the lineup.
If he leading off today.
If he continues to struggle and Schwarber continues to crush the baseball, despite his lack of outfield talents at this point, I'd be inclined to do that.
But who are you putting in center?
Coughlin. I'd mix and match. I think that's reasonable. If Baez is ripping when he comes back, then putting Bryant out there, that's a big move to do with Chris Bryant at this point, though. Hey, it's August.
Moving you to left.
That's asking a lot.
Cap'n Hall brought to you by Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. They won the largest verdict for a brain injury in Illinois history, largest verdict for a back injury in Illinois history, and the largest verdict for a neck injury in Illinois history. That's the triple crown of lawyering. Horowitz, Horowitz, and Associates. These guys win. Time out. We'll come right back. 312-235-2525. Talking baseball. Trevor Van Riemsdyk has just agreed to a 2-year extension, so we can get into whatever is on your sports mind. 312-235-2525. We're right back.